Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
On Schillkill, we pair a crypto with a riveting true crime case, weaving together the worlds of innovation and investigation. Today, we shed light on a groundbreaking project before delving into a dark mystery. Stay curious and ready for more.
Welcome to Schillkill. I'm Chip Mahoney, and this is my podcast where I pair a crypto with a true crime case in a unique fusion of finance and mystery. Today, it's a really interesting pairing. I'm speaking of Ondo Finance, now a top 100 crypto project, and their business is to tokenize real-world assets and put it on the blockchain. And then when I transition into the true crime, I think it's fitting where I talk about two business partners who had a falling out, one of whom tokenized the other after he killed him. And I've got that for you next here on Schillkill. Thanks for tuning in. This is the audio version, but if you like video, there's YouTube, there's TikTok, and everything else. Another reason to subscribe, come back for more, because I will have more for you. Just about every new week, a new crypto paired with a riveting true crime case. A real mystery like I like to do here at Schillkill, because this podcast is for true crime fans, but also new people in crypto, new adopters of crypto. Gonna have FOMO when everybody else is doing well, so you got to learn this stuff right now. And I try to do that in a non-technical manner, so you don't get bored to death. And sometimes crypto is a real mystery, so we can unravel some things there together. Therefore, if you know someone like yourself who loves true crime, wants to learn about crypto this way, please share the podcast, come back for more, because I will always have more for you. If you have heard me before, and it wasn't just a drive-by, as I like to say, you're dropping the clip, pulling a crossover SUV background on me, know that I do appreciate that OG kind of respect. Although I am a DeFi expert, I promise not to fire back on you with a bunch of technical jargon I know you don't need. You just need to know enough about the project to make a sound decision one way or the other. Because the thing about crypto is just not to miss out on the opportunity, and don't miss out what I have for you next about Ondo Finance. Ondo Finance is a top crypto project. If you head on over to CoinMarketCap, you will find it in the top 100 of all cryptos available. And that's more of a recent entry because it hasn't always been that way. But lately, we've had this narrative about real world assets, and it's been taking over for crypto. I happen to like it a lot. I think it's going to lead into the bull run and beyond that. And I just can't wait for that to get better and better. But at this time, we have something else to think about before RWAs, and that's Pepe and his fuzzy friends, because memes have a 65 billion market cap as I speak, real world assets, 55 billion. So we're not there yet, even though they offer tremendous value, and memes offer nothing. They have no intrinsic value, they're worth nothing. It's just that people like to gamble, and they think they're going to be millionaires overnight. 99% will lose out. But one thing it does, it's like the first wave of a bull run. It brings new people into crypto. So if they're smart, they'll trade out of that stuff and get to something of value. And that's where real world assets are very important. So Ondo is not partnered with BlackRock, but they did recently move $95 million into BlackRock's Biddle Fund, which is a tokenized fund. Once BlackRock thinks of doing something, the next day it happens, because they pretty much rule the world. They control the government, it seems like. They can get whatever they want, no problem. Nobody's going to do a lawsuit against them for anything. They get what they want. They got the spot ETFs for Bitcoin. They got the Biddle Fund. And as I think, and I say sometimes, that where BlackRock goes, liquidity flows. And that's really important. So on Coinbase, Ondo is doing a lot of volume, trading at about 83 cents a share right now, which I think is a great price to get in. If you're new to crypto, I believe under a dollar is very solid for Ondo. And if you're in the United States, where our government doesn't like crypto very much and tries to make things hard on us, we just have Coinbase and Kraken that we can use. So it's listed there. And also Ondo does have this lineage with Coinbase. The founders had worked for Coinbase, so that's always good. They have venture capital behind them. They're here in the United States. And let me just tell you that venture capital players that are the big names, the partnerships with Coinbase, and not a partnership with BlackRock, but the ability to move about $100 million into the Biddle Fund, this stuff ain't going away. They're going to do just fine. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's not going to be like some DeFi project out there that goes sideways. So it's positioned really well. Something to do your own research and always go to the website and read up more about them. And in case you have been living under a rock, maybe you have been, you haven't heard about BlackRock, they've got 10 trillion assets under management. It's insane, but they can get whatever they want. And I think because they are leading this narrative, that is something that once we leap Pepe and friends, then things are going to get real. And I certainly hope it does. I mean, we're close to the Bitcoin halving, and that's just a thing in the next couple of weeks where they cut the rewards for the miners who mine the Bitcoin. And, you know, because it's scarcity and supply, it's supposed to lead into this bull run. And we think that's going to happen. And then after that, these alt projects, because anything other than Bitcoin is an alt project, that they can do really well. And so I like Ondo a lot. I like the narrative. More and more projects are coming up in this space, but I suggest looking at Ondo and just finding out more about this narrative. If you're someone who likes value and you want to think about what tokenization can mean for the future, then it's something very solid. But as far as tokenizing things goes, it's nothing new. Because if you are on CoinMarketCap and you look in the top 10, you'll see Tether and USDC. Now, I talked about Tether recently on a really mysterious episode, a really gruesome true crime case as well. But that is the biggest stablecoin we have. Then there's USDC, the second largest stablecoin. That's where you digitize the dollar. So this tokenization has already happened with essentially our greatest asset, our dollar. So that's been there for a long time. And now we're talking about real estate. We're talking about insurance contracts. We're talking about anything of value that can be brought on the blockchain. Now, another thing to keep in mind is Ondo and a lot of players in real world assets use Ethereum blockchain. But if they expand to other blockchains like Base, which is run by Coinbase, by the way, and is also massive, then I think it's just going to expand more of the opportunity to get into this space and just grow more use cases, more money on the blockchain, and get bigger and bigger. And I think that's really exciting, but it's something to think about. Just the blockchains utilized. Ethereum's pretty good for what they want to do, but I think for the future, Coinbase's Base blockchain will be something to look at as well. And never underestimate these partnerships or these people that know each other, from venture capital to working at Coinbase to moving money or the ability to move money into BlackRock fund. Because if I had $100 million and I sent an email to BlackRock to invest in that or move money there in not a partnership, they might not respond, because who cares? But if you know the right people, they're going to say yes. And I think that's really important. Even if you have a ton of money, doesn't mean you're going to be accepted. So that's Ondo Finance, where they're into tokenizing things on the blockchain. And if you like that, check it out. Now, as I transition into the true crime, I'm going to talk about two business partners who I would say, you know, if it were happening right now, these guys would be in crypto, but these guys were in debt consolidation and they had a falling out. A lot of things happened with one business partner who was totally shady, but they had a falling out and this guy was put in a corner, put in a frame. And his only thing that he could do was to kill the other guy and then tokenize his life. And I got that for you next, that story about Ed Shin and his business partner. And we're going to talk about that now. Ed Shin was a shady character to begin with. It's just that no one really knew because it didn't show on the outside. I mean, from outward appearances, he did all the right things. He was clean cut. He said the right things. He was very good at sales. And in fact, if he had an opportunity, he made the most of it. And he got hired by a debt consolidation company. And within a matter of no time, really, he was the president of that company. And he was just that good in schmoozing people and doing business. Now, this was like around the 2005, 2010s, right in that era where we just had social media taking off, but we didn't have all the camera tracking. People were still using email that wasn't Gmail. So if you were shady, you could be shady for a while. And he was. And so he was leading this company, but all the while he was stealing their clients. He was building the foundation of 800 Exchange by having access to such big clients. And when he partnered with Chris Smith to start 800 Exchange, they started doing really well immediately. Now, to build a business, even with crypto, it takes a few years, but they were doing well from the beginning. It's because Ed had set it up that way. Now, the company he was stealing clients from didn't back down. They sued him. They followed him and they wouldn't let it go. And that really bothered Ed because they wanted $800,000. Nothing less. They weren't going to settle. Now, 800 Exchange was making a lot in debt consolidation. This was Orange County, California, San Juan Capistrano, where they had their office together, making a lot of cash. And Chris started to realize what the other company had caught on to as well, that Ed was shady and he wasn't getting any better. He would just get worse. So Chris wanted out of the business. And he wanted $1 million to do so. He wasn't just going to go away and say, you know, nice to meet you. I'll take $100,000. I'm good. He wanted $1 million and he wanted to be done. Now, he was a California guy, former wakeboarder, pictured with his shirt off in his car. He had a Range Rover. I mean, he had the life going for him, but he was a lot like Ed, but he had good character and good values and he wanted his $1 million. He deserved his money as a partner in 800 Exchange. It's just that he wasn't the one stealing clients. Ed was doing that. So the other company wanted $800,000. They were working between lawyers to get this thing settled. So it's like either pay the $800,000 and have a couple hundred to himself, or pay Chris his $1 million and have this company not leave him alone and put him in debt prison because they were in the debt business. So Chris's life was up for sale and Ed decided to set it up to have Chris come into the office to pay him $1 million to part ways. But really, he was going to tokenize his life. He's going to kill him and tokenize him. Now, I do think that, you know, this was right around 2010 and Bitcoin started 2009 for like 5 cents a share. It's now 72,000. But I do think that if these guys got together later on, they had good character and morals, or at least Ed did, then I think that they would have been attracted to crypto. They could have started something like Ondo Finance or one of these quality companies and done really well because they were very good at business. But this was the 2010s and this is what they had. So he lured Chris back to the office to pay him that $1 million, set it up that way. And then somehow he got the jump on Chris and murdered him in the office, which I kind of think didn't happen that way. I think that he must have had somebody help him in this as well, because I think that Chris could take Ed. Like, if you put them in the ring, I think Chris has the advantage, but somehow Ed killed him inside the office. Then they clean the office and said that Chris disappeared. And that's where he tokenized his life. He got on his computer, started emailing the parents, "Hey, I've found what I wanted to do in life, which is sail the world and be my best entrepreneur and live life this way. Got a bunch of money and I'm doing things I've always wanted to do." But Ed was always putting Chris, as he was writing these emails, he's always putting Chris in the most dangerous places, coast of Africa, where there's pirates and people can overtake your boat and dump you in the ocean, never be seen again. He was always doing that. It wasn't putting Chris in somewhere like Hawaii or the Caribbean. It was somewhere very, very dangerous. So Ed was building that narrative, tokenizing his life, emailing the parents as if he were Chris, and they knew that it wasn't their son. Everything pointed to Ed because he was being sued and people were talking about him. I'm sure even Chris had told his friends and family, "Hey, this guy is shady. And if something happens, look at him." Because he wanted out of the business. He didn't want to keep going with it. And that looked like it was going to happen. But something happened inside that office for 800 Exchange. And then they cleaned it. And then they had to get another office within there, the building, in order to gain access. And once they did that and were able to gain access to where this murder took place, they were finally able to see the small specks of blood. And there were tiny specks of blood in the crevices of that room, in and around it, that was Chris's blood. So they knew that he was killed inside the office and that Ed was the killer. At least that's what they proved. And Ed was put away for life. But it does sound like he had a helper because Chris's body was never found. To this day, it hasn't been found. Did he dump him in the ocean? Did he dump him in the desert? A lot of places to do that in California. But even when Ed was interviewed later on in prison, in his life sentence, he said that there's bigger things to this case that he can't talk about. So I'm sure there are, but ultimately the facts are that he wanted his partner dead. He didn't want to pay him that million. He wanted the money for himself, pay off the other company, have a couple grand to himself, maybe keep 800 Exchange going, or maybe do something else. But Chris's life was up for sale, and Ed was in that business. He didn't have any problem with it. It was all about him, whatever he could do, because he showed that with his character. Now, I remember a book like The 7 Habits of Successful People. They talk about winning things in private, like in your character and the values about yourself, like in private before you can get that in the public space. And so that's why I think about him having no character, speaking of Ed Shin, that he could earn money from the company that he was stealing their clients from. Hire me, I'll make sales, you'll pay me, and then I'll take your clients. It doesn't work that way. So when it came to murder, he had no problem as well because it was all about him. All about him. And that's where it stands today. They'll probably not find anything else about where Chris ultimately was dumped, where his remains could be found, and give final closure here. And it does remain a mystery. But that's tokenizing a guy's life. I don't think you could really do that today. But back then, 15 years ago, I think that was possible. But today, I can't see that happening because we have so much more tracking, cameras everywhere, and even an office complex, every one of them is going to have video so they could show Ed Shin on camera going to and fro. But that just wasn't the case when they had this case there in Orange County. So I hope you have enjoyed the pairing today with Ondo and Ed Shin. Come back for more because I'll have more for you. But on this episode, I'm out. Thanks for joining me.
Don't forget to subscribe and join us again as we uncover the fascinating connection between two seemingly disparate worlds. Until next time.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.